The human family unit is an institution that's special in the eyes of God. It's also special in the minds and in the eyes of society at large, particularly with regard to the media, who love to tell all the world about the goings-on in the royal family. Well, in Scripture, there are some particularly significant families. Think of Adam and Eve and their family, Cain and Abel, later Seth. But that was the very first family in the history of the world. And in that little family, one happened to be a murderer, and another one in the family happened to be the victim. What a unique family that was. And they were specially created as well. That is the parents, Adam and Eve. What a family. And then we come to another unique family, the family of Noah, the house of Noah. He and his wife, his three boys and their wives, were the only survivors of the deluge that inundated the world in his day. And the world was begun again with those four families, Noah and his wife, Shem, Ham and Japheth, and their families. So that was a unique family. And Noah was a godly man at that. We move on later to another unique family, and that was Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, godly people. In fact, God said to the two, probably angels, who were traveling with them down to Sodom to warn Lot of the destruction of Sodom. But on the way, God said to the other two, "Shall I hide from Abraham this thing that I'm going to do in Sodom? For I know him, that he will command his house after him to walk in the ways of the Lord." What a family he was. And unique too, because the troubles that have taken place throughout the generations for Israel and the Arab races have stemmed from their two children, Ishmael and Isaac. We move into the New Testament. Do you ever come across the house of Stephanus in 1 Corinthians 16? We are told about those people that they were the first fruits of Paul's ministry in Achaia. And we are told that he wrote about them, "These people, the house of Stephanus, have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Can you think of that? We hear of drug addiction these days. We hear of all kinds of addiction that are wrong and deleterious to the health. But here's a family that addicted themselves just to looking after others of God's people. What a ministry that was. And what shall we say of that family that we were thinking of for a couple of weeks in the past? Mary and Joseph. And the Lord Jesus Christ born into that family. Think of what that family must have been like growing up. There were other children later. But with the Lord Jesus growing up there, along with his mother and with Joseph. What a family. So there are many special families. But for the remainder of our meeting, I want to talk to you about another family. A real family. A unique family. Distinct from the human family of society. And that is the family of which we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Let me say briefly three important matters about this special family. I want you to notice its lineage. People like to trace their descent. People like to find out more about their ancestors, their forebears. And they study out the family tree to try to get away back to the beginning. Oh, what a distinctive lineage the Christian has, the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me just say, when I talk about the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about a local aspect of it such as we have here tonight. This is a church. The communicant members of this congregation make up the church. The called out people, they are the church. Many more in the congregation, but those who are the membership make up the church, called out. And there are many local churches like this all over the world. But the church I'm thinking of is the aggregate of every born-again believer in all ages. that the moment they trusted Christ as their Savior, the moment they trusted Christ, whether looking forward to Calvary by the Old Testament animal sacrifices that typified Christ and his redeeming work, or whether in our day we look back to Calvary, that's the church, every born-again believer. This is the family of God I'm thinking of. And what is our lineage? Well, we trace it to one. And this is what Paul says here, writing to the church at Ephesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Who is that whom? What name is that? You have it in the previous verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the lineage, this is the descent, this is the pedigree of the family of God, the church of the Lord. It has its parentage in God the Father, God the Son, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in the Bible that every person upon becoming a Christian is placed in the body of Christ. So whether you're a member of a local church or not, and it's important to be, to follow the scripture example. But whether you are or not, you are a member of the invisible church. That happened the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior. Or to put it another way, you're put into the body of Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. Or to put it another way, not only are we a body, we are a building. And the Bible speaks about lively stones or living stones placed into that great spiritual temple, that spiritual building. But not only are we a body, not only are we a building, the church is the bride of Christ. So the moment you trusted Christ, you became part of that entity known as the bride of Christ. And as we look at the church's extraction, its pedigree, its beginning, its parentage, if I may use that word in this context, you can see the dignity of the church. We are named after Christ. We are named after the Lord of glory in heaven. James, writing to the believers in chapter 2, verse 7, with regard to certain people who were attacking the things of God, says to the believers, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. The Christian is called by the name of Christ. They were first called Christians, known now as Christians, at Antioch. I want to ask you a question before I move on to the second thing. Are you in this dignity, this dignified entity, this church of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Have you turned from your sin? Have you put your trust in the Savior? If you haven't, no matter what name or what church role your name is on earth, you're not a member of the true church. It's only those who have been born again. You are not a member of this family of God. You have to be an heir of God, born again of the Spirit of God, and become an heir of His and a joint heir with Christ. That's the lineage of this family, shows the dignity of it. But notice, secondly, the largeness of this family. And that shows us the immensity of this church, or this family of God. Notice what it says here. The whole family in heaven and earth. The whole family in heaven and earth. Let's take earth. Now let's take earth as it is now. Do you know that there are many born-again believers in Ulster and in the United Kingdom? Do you know that there are multiplied millions in China? Communist China? Multiplied millions of believers. And all the persecutions could not blot the Church of Jesus Christ out. There are many in India. Many in the far eastern countries. There are many in the African nations. There are many in South America. There are many in North America. So you take the immensity of the number of this family. There's not a family like it. But that's only now. Go away back through the ages. Last century. the previous centuries. Go back to the times of the Reformation, when under the reformers and the martyrs, light shone through, and darkened nations saw the light and rejoiced in that. And many in those nations became children of God and entered this family of God. That's why I'm saying that the church is large. Take heaven. If you take it now, day by day, how many Christian people are dying all over the world? Some of them, they're being martyred in countries that are hostile to Christianity. Others are dying because of old age or bad health or accidents. But people who are Christians are dying all over the world. That's only now. But go back over the years. Go back over the centuries. Go back right to the days of Adam and Eve. Think of many of God's people died in those days. The Bible tells us that the Christian is called wheat. The ungodly is called the chaff. There's always more wheat than the chaff. The Bible says that we are like the sand of the seashore. For number, you can't count the pickles or the grains of sand. It's impossible to do that. And neither can the stars be counted. And the Bible tells us that the number of the seed of Abraham is like the stars and like the sand. And that takes in the spiritual seed of Abraham, believers, and also the literal seed of Jews. We are told in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, that the Lord Jesus said, many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Many. Listen to what the Lord says. Many. And in Revelation chapter 7, we read of a multitude that no man can number. Does that not tell you that the church, this family of God, is large and immense? Would you not like to be in that? You think that if I become a Christian and start attending some church, I'm going to be ostracized. I'm going to be a tiny minority. You may be in the eyes of society at the present time, but the Lord will have the last say. And remember, a multitude that no man can number. That tells us, if nothing else, that the numbers of the redeemed, those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, is a huge number. And whenever we get home to heaven, we'll be aghast at the myriads of angels and the myriads of the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, what a day the resurrection will be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and body and soul of the redeemed people will come together and be with the Savior in all eternity, for all eternity in heaven. The family of God, we can see something of its dignity and its lineage. We can see something of its immensity and its largeness. And then I want you to notice, lastly, the locations of this church. Notice what it says in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Two locations. Part of it's in heaven, part of it on earth. And let me tell you this, there is no difference in standing before the Lord, no difference in status before the Lord of the folk who are in heaven and the folk who are Christians living on earth. No difference. The difference lies not in status. The difference lies in circumstances. The part of the church in heaven, the part of the family in heaven, have finished with the warfare. They have finished with the battle. They're known, this family and part of which is in heaven, as the church triumphant. Now the part of it, the family on earth, is known as the church militant. We sing, onward Christian soldiers marching us to war. We sing, fight the good fight of faith. We sing, am I a soldier of the cross? Oh, my dear friend, these are songs indicating the militancy of our lives. We're in the Lord's army, fighting the good fight of faith. But we're every bit as much of the family of God as those serene, tranquil spirits who have no more battling to be done. And that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that there's unity in the family, the unity of the family. We have seen the dignity of it. It's named after the Father and the Son. We have seen the immensity of it, because it's the whole family in heaven and on earth, all of heaven and all of earth. And now we see the unity in it. We're all in the one family register. The folk in heaven, yes, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but so is the believer's name on earth. We're not two different types of family. We're not second-class citizens down here. It's just that the folk who have died and gone on to heaven have gone home before us. I remember a man saying to me, he's dead, and he belonged to our church here. We were talking about this one time. And he said, oh, he's just taking an earlier bus home. And I can remember the time whenever bus transport was very common before people had cars. Especially the last bus home from Lurgan to Portadown, round about 11:45. And if you missed that, you had to thumb a lift. But there were earlier buses. And I remember people saying, well, go for the earlier bus. Or someone said, well, go for the last bus. This is what happens whenever Christians die. They've gone home earlier than those that are left behind. But our names are all in the one register. I'll tell you something else. We're all in the one covenant. Mankind by nature is under the covenant of Adam, the covenant of works. He has fallen in Adam. And we have the same tendencies to temptation, the same tendency to sinning, the same tendency to sickness, the same tendency to frailty, the same tendency to die. For those who are in the last Adam, there's another Adam. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 15. The last Adam, we are united to him. We are heirs of God. And just like those people who were redeemed by precious blood who are in heaven, so are those who are trusting Christ now, redeemed by precious blood, but we're living on earth. All in heaven and earth are born of the one Holy Spirit, receive the new birth. We have all come the one way to salvation through faith in Christ. And we have all the one Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, even though there's a big divide called death, doesn't separate the unity. The children of Israel, whenever they entered into the land of Canaan, there was the river Jordan flowing down from the north to the south, right away down into the Dead Sea, coming from Mount Hermon. Now there were 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of the river Jordan, Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh. There were 9.5 other tribes on the western side of Jordan. But even though Jordan separated them, it never separated them in spirit. They were all part of one another. And even though death has come down and separated between our loved ones who have gone on before in Christ, it doesn't make us any different. In fact, the Bible says that they without us are not made perfect. That means that whenever the church is completed and the last stone has been put in the living temple and the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with a shout, the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and so forever be with the Lord. Oh, what a great time that will be, the church completed then. I have to ask you again, ladies and gentlemen, are you in this family? What a family to belong to. To be able to call God your heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ the elder brother. And to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And to have our chart, our compass, our guide, the Word of God to guide us across the stormy seas of life. And at last to bring us into the desired haven. Oh my, you're destitute of all of that. And whenever you come to die, you'll be cast upon the rocks and perish forever. But if you'll only take Christ as your Savior, you'll be in this glorious family. And whenever you reach the desired haven, oh, all the trumpets will sound for you on the other side. You go through yon pearly gate, walk the golden street,
Catch up with friends and family who have gone before. Sit down with these of whom we have read in the Bible and read off in church history. And best of all, gaze in that lovely face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. What a family. Take Christ as your Savior. And the moment you do, you'll be part of that family tonight and forever. The whole family in heaven and in earth.